Today's reading is from the prophet Jeremiah, found in the Hebrew scriptures. It is a recurrent theme throughout the Bible: blessings and woes, the way of life, the way of death. Through stories, prophets, and especially the teachings of Jesus, God is constantly warning us of what blessing or disaster lays ahead, according to our behavior. It's really no secret. Behaving badly and bad will most certainly follow. Do the right thing and the eventual result will always be blessing. Jeremiah knew this fundamental truth well, which is why he viciously condemned the rulers, denounced the priests, and accused the false prophets for leading the people astray. He also confronted the people for their blatant idolatry and pronounced severe judgment unless people repented. Needless to say, Jeremiah was not a popular man. For his prophetic preaching was branded by many as treason. Jeremiah spoke about the blessings and woes that will naturally follow according to our individual responsibility. He desperately implores us to trust in God's reliability or, like a shrub in the desert, suffer the inevitable result. Hear this reading from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 19. The Lord says, "I will put a curse on people who trust in mere human beings, who depend on mere flesh and blood for their strength, and whose hearts have turned away from the Lord. They will be like a shrub in the desert. They will not experience good things, even when they happen. It will be as though they were growing in the desert, in a salt land where no one can live. My blessing is on those people who trust in me, who put their confidence in me. They will be like a tree planted near a stream, whose roots spread out toward the water. It has nothing to fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no need to be concerned in a year of drought. It does not stop bearing fruit. The human mind is more deceitful than anything else. It is incurably bad. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, probe into people's minds. I examine people's hearts. I deal with each person according to how he has behaved. I give them what they deserve based on what they have done." The Word of God leading us to be a people of God.
Thank you, Susan. Blessings and woes. Blessings and woes. Jesus uses this motif frequently. If you think of the Sermon on the Mount, it's a common motif throughout Scripture. Is this or that, you know? And sometimes, in fact, if I'm honest, many times what I read in the Bible can stick in my throat like a chicken bone. I just can't swallow it. The sayings and the proclamations are in conflict with my experience. And it seems to oppose even the theology that I like to follow. Sometimes the scripture aggressively challenges what I think I know about God, the God I worship. And so I get agitated when I read it. And I get unsettled at the teaching or the prophecy. So when these scriptures come up in the lectionary, I try to choose one of the other scriptures that's offered so I don't have to preach on it. But sometimes there's this spiritual tug, this pull, that's unexplainable, but The tug won't let me go, and I am oddly drawn back to that chicken bone, and I have to wrestle with it. It's kind of like those clickbait ads on the internet, you know. You know you shouldn't, you should avoid them, but for whatever reason, you're compelled to take the bait. Well, today's clickbait scripture is from the wildly eccentric and quite peculiar prophet named Jeremiah. He was a fascinating man. So that's what I'm wrestling with. Maybe his words caught in your throat too. I know I was speaking with Susan before the service, and she was like, what is this? Maybe you had trouble with it, but let's see if we can wrestle out a blessing from these words. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, I admit that sometimes I wonder if the scriptures actually do speak for you. Yet I also believe that your word is holy and true. Help us all this morning to see beyond the fixed ideas that we may have about you. And may we come to understand the blessing embedded in these words. We ask you to guide us in spirit and in truth. Amen. All right, here we go. I was in my mid-20s, and I was new to the Christian faith. And this church that I was attending quickly and firmly taught us to categorize all of life into two distinct places. There was evil and there was good. There was heaven and there was hell. You were either saved or unsaved. Us and them. You make your choice. God's way or your own way. There is no in between. It was a simple life. You know, sorting things out into either this bucket or that container is easy, right? We all like the certainty of that. It makes things simple. It's either black or white. It's blessed or it's cursed. It's sacred or it's profane. Binary thinking, either or, helps us make sense of our lives in many ways. It guides the choices we make. But what I found over the course of the last 20 or so years is that life has taught me that our reality is not really so neat and tidy at all. There are infinite shades of gray. And the deepest truth I have found is always wrapped in this enigma of paradox. A lot of people don't like that. In my experience, I have, in fact, lost my life to gain it more than once. And what had seemed to be things that were cursed in my life have frequently, consistently been turned into blessings. Needed the curse to get the blessing. And what I thought were blessings actually turned out to be these narrow prisons that would hold me captive to the false beliefs that I held and the wishful thinking of my theology. I have discovered that to surrender to humility is in fact the source of the greatest strength I have ever had. Paradox. These experiences have led me to largely abandon the dualistic and binary thinking of my younger years. And in doing so, I found a deeper, a wider wisdom, a more expansive God than I could ever know before. I found some great peace in sitting comfortably in these paradoxes and simply accepting the wonder of mystery. I am really okay with contradiction. It's all over scripture, so I hope you are too. I truly believe that in the spiritual realm, paradox is not a problem. It's not a problem that we can solve. For me, paradox has actually become this mystical portal in which to view the vastness of God. I've come to understand that this binary thinking of my youth actually was systematically served to constrain my ability to comprehend the divine presence and awe of that grace that's around us. Ironically, as I was thinking about this, it was all too often the organized religion that functioned as the primary mechanism that seeks to codify and domesticate what is clearly a wild and untamable God. The mystical fullness will never be easily sorted into bins or comprehended through tidy equations that work. As my seminary professor was so fond of saying to his students, that is a feeble God, unworthy of worship. At first glance, today's scripture seems to want to reinforce a dualistic approach. I think that's what got on my nerves. That's what challenged me. Jeremiah pits curse against blessing, flesh and blood against divinity, and the human intellect against the transcendent God, as if they're in opposition to one another. The natural world against the supernatural cosmos. So maybe you can understand why I would rather not preach on Jeremiah's prophet. Jeremiah claims that God will put a curse on people who trust solely in mere human beings. Those who depend completely on mere flesh and blood for their strength will not find it. He says that only those who confidently trust in God will be blessed. What do you think? Has that been your experience? I know plenty of secular people who are good and kind, successful in business, appear to have very happy lives, but have no use for God whatsoever. I know a lot of people who seem to succeed in life, and yet you know that they are not necessarily righteous people. What do you think? Is the human mind more deceitful than anything else? Yikes. How's that going to go over at Tricon? Is the mind incurably bad? As Jeremiah claims? Of course not. Of course not. Our minds are created by God, and all that God creates is good. So what the heck is going on here? What is God saying to us through the prophet? I don't know. But I think Jeremiah's claim is that when we trust in our human intellect alone, it will never be enough to make the world right. Clearly, we haven't done it yet. The Great Enlightenment promised that, and that was just before World War I. And we continue to struggle. Jeremiah likens the secular life to a shrub that's struggling to survive in the desert. It's a vivid image, isn't it? An image of a meager and malnourished existence that is barely clinging to survival. And so intense is and all-consuming is this struggle to live that even when good things happen, we will be oblivious to the blessings that rain down on us every single day. We can't see it. We become blind to everything but our inability to find sustained contentment. We are unable to truly be happy deep down inside or satisfied. It just eludes us. And that very well may be the curse that Jeremiah is talking about, to not be able to see the blessings all around you. The incurably bad and deceitful mind is, I think, our inability in that condition to see beyond the temporal life. We're so consumed with this present time and space that we can't see beyond what God is offering. We limit our ability to grow and thrive like that shrub planted in the desert. Our resilience is critically diminished. The blessing that comes with trusting God is not a life of comfort. Don't mistake that. It's not free from failure or loss. But when inevitable sufferings do come, we have a deep, wide roots of resilience. We can gladly endure and thrive in adversity. We know that this is not the end, that there's something more, there's something greater. Jeremiah says it's like a tree planted near a stream with deep roots. Even in long periods of drought, we remain healthy and alive. It may not be easy, but we have the resilience to absorb through our roots. At some point in every life, we come to feel like we are under some kind of curse, every one of us. And even our best thinking is powerless to change the outcome. Paradoxically, I think this is the place where blessings are born. We are left with no alternative but to surrender to something greater than our mere flesh and blood. Our strength comes from somewhere else. It has to, because we are forced to our knees. And I think it's here, in this dry, lifeless ashes, where we will discover that our roots magically begin to take hold and new life begins to germinate. We are nourished with a living water, not of our own making. In a few weeks, as I said earlier, we are going to begin our Lenten journey. And this year, we will focus on courage. Jean and I will preach on an aspect of courage, and you will discuss that those aspects in your small groups. And the hope behind this, the hope of this Lenten season, is to deepen and widen our root structure, to position ourselves near a stream of living water and nurture our minds, our bodies, and spirits, not divide them, nurture them together into a wholeness beyond the limits of this binary thinking and into the vast, limitless freedom that God offers. So let us take root in the wonder and mystery of a God beyond God, and discover an uncommon courage in simply following in the way of Jesus. Amen.